I want to talk to you today about fighting, about the strength of God in each one of us to fight back the forces of darkness. And I tell you, if we're really going to make it in this life, it's going to take winning the battle. It's going to really take winning a battle in each of our lives. And if we're weak, we're not going to be able to fight. And if we start out this thing not wanting to fight, then the enemy's already got us pegged for sure. But there's not a person in here. And I've watched men and women try to go around that battle for years. I've watched them be able to find certain areas of their life that was seemingly blessed. And they would just try to stay in that. But sure enough, the enemy always catches up. So what you want to do, you want to be ready to fight at any time. You want to be ready when the enemy approaches. Amen. The Bible says be instant, in season and out of season. So God has called us to a battlefield. Now, I just reached over and was talking cricket there just a moment before, that a lot of us may have a battle scar, as Vander Holyfield still has in his ear. You understand? Because sometime we have to get rid of the Mike Tysons in life. But whatever it is that's fighting you, you've got to develop a mental attitude toward battle. And I tell you, if you're a father here, if you're going to win for those kids, if you're going to win for those grandkids, it's going to take a battle. If you're a mom or dad, it's going to take winning that battle. If you're going to have a marriage that will grow old and you will find great, great joy in, then you've got to have the attitude, I'm going to win this battle. Because I don't know of a marriage in the world that ever became a good marriage without many battles being involved with it. So whatever it is, whether it's just to make it in life, I see some people that seemingly make a lot of money, but what happens is because they make a lot of money, then when it gets to time to be able to spend it, their health goes and all that they work for, all their life goes. But what you got to know, if I can be strong in the Lord, I can fight off these attacks. Everybody say, fight off these attacks that the enemy would try to assault against my life. So we got to become a fighter. That's just got to be our attitude. And we've got to be a lover. We've got to love God's people. And we've got to hate the devil. And we've got to hate evil. I have a little problem. Lane and I have a little problem with nowadays, it seems the modern terminology is to teach children not to hate anything. You got to hate evil. The Bible says the beginning of wisdom is to hate evil. You've got to hate what the enemy has tried to do in your life. There's got to be a holy hatred. And there's got to be a holy love toward people. Amen. So God, you want the Lord to do those powerful things in you. You want God to create a holy love. And I just want to stop right just for a quick moment. If you're having a problem with somebody somewhere, I want to pray for the Holy Spirit to put an increase of love in your life. Before I talk about fighting, I want to talk about loving. So if you will simply stand, if you're having a problem somewhere, somebody's trying to ring your bell, push your button, and you just need an extra measure of God's grace love, because God is love. God is the greatest lover in all the world. Now, if you're having a battle with your wife, if I was a husband, I wouldn't stand up if she's sitting next to you, and vice versa. So you can just be seated and go ahead and get a blessing. But I just want to pray, because the Holy Spirit can give us a grace of love. And before I talk about fighting, let's talk about loving, all right? Father, in the name of Jesus, by the power of the Holy Spirit, Lord, I ask you, you are the giver of life. And Lord, you're the grace giver. You are able to bring the grace of love, helping us love the unlovable, those that's been hard and made it so difficult for us to love. Lord, I believe in the name of Jesus that you can put in us and within us such a grace of God. Because love conquers all, and the Word of God declares, Lord, that love never fails. So many things will fail in life. My anger has failed a lot of times, and my manipulation has failed a lot of times, but your love will never fail. So, Father, we ask for the grace of love to be upon these that are standing and these that are sitting that needs that love level to increase to be able to love somebody in their life that is unlovable in Jesus' name. Now, I just prayed for you, but you got to echo that. And I want you to just say, Lord, in the name of Jesus, I receive your grace and I receive your strength right now. I receive your strength in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you so much, because I need to do that before we talk about fighting. Because it is, and you have to do that. You have to breathe in the grace of God. I mean, a lot of times we just go into it and say, I've just loved all I can love. I just can't stand this anymore. But what you stop, and in a moment of time, just breathe in the very grace of God. The very God that breathed the very breath into us at the beginning can still breathe the breath of strength into us. If He breathed life into us in the beginning, then God can still breathe His powerful breath. So when you get in those issues that's hard to love, you just reach up toward God and say, Lord, I'm just going to receive Your grace that's going to elevate me in this level. Amen? Amen. Love the unlovable. All right, we're going to talk about fighting. Now, the Bible is full of talking about fighting. In fact, the Bible says that in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, it talks about God's called us to this battle. And it's a battle of being able. Hey, Dugan, man, how you doing?
I'm here.
Yeah, you're here. You're here. Come here and give me a hug, man. Oh, okay. All right. All right, man. It's good to see you, man. And the Bible talks consistently. And the Bible pulls the battle down to the ability to fight the enemy in our mind. The major battle is not fighting the enemy out here. This is an arena where God has to handle it. But God has called us to an arena of the battle. But the battle that we have to win is on the inside. And if we will be faithful, the Bible calls that the good fight of faith. If we will be faithful to win the battle on the inside, God says, I will be faithful to win the battle on the outside. So where we resist the enemy is not out here. That's God's territory. Man, if we could change people, we would change people. If we could change circumstances, we would change circumstances. If we could make things different, we would make things different. That's God's territory. That's the miraculous territory. That's God's territory. But where God's called me to win, and the battle that I face is located usually right between my two ears. But I've got to win the battle there. Because if I win the battle between my two ears, it becomes a doorway for God to win my battle out here. But if I refuse, some people just blame God. They just say, why didn't God come through? Because you didn't win God inside. The first doorway that has to be open to God moving for us out here is us winning it first in here. That's why when Jesus lived here, on this earth and showed us how to live victoriously, He wasn't just handing out miracles. He would put a responsibility upon every person that received from Him. And the responsibility be something like this: if you will believe, you will receive. We're obligated before God to win the battle in here, and you can win it in here. That is a winnable place where you can win the battle. But if you will win it in here, then God then is ready to be the victor out here for the glory of God. Amen. Now, in the book of John, I just want to show a little about it. All through the Bible, there's these mental battles that's consistently taking place. What we usually see the victory. We see David running toward Goliath and taking the little five smooth stones, and we see him laying out. But the real battle is not won where we see the battle. The real battle is won on the inside. John chapter 13 verse 2, it says, so it was during supper that Satan, having already put the thought of betraying Jesus into the heart of Judas. The enemy comes to each one of our hearts. Sin comes into us, not on the outside first. It always starts with a thought. It always starts that the enemy is trying to get us with a thought. And that's why in John chapter 5 verse 45 said, put out of your minds the thought. That's the answer to that. Put it out of your mind, the Bible says. When the devil puts the thought in there, God says, we have the strength and we have the grace to put that thought out. The second place, 1 Samuel chapter 18. And let's talk about putting the sin thoughts out. In 1 Samuel it says, and Saul cast the javelin, for he thought. The way the enemy used jealousy in Saul's life, the Bible says the enemy put the thought of jealousy. But the thought of envy. The reason that Saul could not walk with David is because he was jealous of him. So you got to know where the battleground begins. It's not out here. Where the battleground starts is on the inside. Now, Psalms chapter 21, it talks about that. It said, for their thoughts were bitter against you. Somebody says, why are they mad at me? I can't understand. Because the devil is putting those thoughts there. But let me turn around. Why are you mad at them? What's the real crux? Most of the battles that I've been through as far as dealing with people, most of the things I usually have to get off, and we all end up laughing about it. When you're able to see how silly they are, and how mundane they are, and how they have no essence to them at all. But when the enemy began to put that thought of jealousy or that thought of bitterness in there. Now, in James chapter 3, it says, for jealousy and selfishness are not God's kind of wisdom. I'm amazed at how many Christians can have jealousy and can have selfishness and feel like somewhere they're doing God's work. The Bible says that's not God's kind of wisdom. The Bible says such things are earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. Everybody say demonic. You have to understand the enemy's assault against your life is not against your life, but it's in your life. The way the enemy comes against your life is by coming into your thought life. And that's the place that he determines to win victory. In Luke chapter 4, verse 9, it says, and he brought him to Jerusalem and sat him on a pinnacle of the temple and said to him, if you're the Son of God. See, not only do you and I have mental battles, Jesus had those. Jesus, at that point, the devil was trying to put in Jesus's heart, try to get him to lose sight of the promise that God has sent him to earth with. I don't know how many of you here today, but I'm here to tell you it's not a time to lose sight of your promise. That we're in a season for God to fulfill those promises. Do you hear? The way the enemy is trying to steal your promise is not stealing it out here. The way the enemy is trying to steal your promise is the same way that he tried to steal it from Jesus. He tries to put a thought into you that you can't trust God. Oh, it doesn't usually say that. It usually says something like this. Well, if it was going to happen, it would already have happened. If it was going to work out, it would have already worked out. It's thoughts like that. But they're laced with the contamination of the enemy that have within those thoughts the power to totally take our future away. When the children of God, when we can finally understand that we don't fight against flesh and blood, but we fight against powers and principalities and rulers of darkness and spiritual wickedness in high places. It's what Ephesians chapter 6 says. Amen. Then I want to close with just this example. And it's found in 1 Kings chapter 19 verse 4. It said, then he went on alone into the wilderness, traveling all day. He sat down under a solitary broom tree and prayed that he might die. Who are we talking about? Who are we talking about that found himself under a tree? And the Bible says he was so depressed and he was so discouraged that he wanted to die. We're talking about the great Elijah. Because right after he had stood as a strong vessel of God and saw hundreds of the prophets of Baal come down, days later he finds himself in the desert. And what has happened to him? What has happened to him? I tell you what's happened to him. It's been too long since he's heard the word of the Lord. And he's become weak. And he begins to think with the thoughts that the enemy's placing into his mind. Because the devils know that if he can bring him into depression, if he can bring him into discouragement, then he can take away his future. I love what happened next. The very next verse said an angel woke him up. And an angel said, you don't have the strength in yourself for this journey. But God says, I have a word of encouragement for you that will overcome all of this discouragement that you've been through. And all that is trying to depress you, God says, I have a word. You've got to get to the word. There's something about the spirit of depression. It tries to isolate us and cure us into a deep, dark dungeon. It tries to bring us into a spirit of hopelessness and helplessness. I'm here to tell you, no matter how far down you may be, God has a strength for you to make it till you get a word from God. And one whispered word from God changed Elijah's complete thought life. Amen. So I'm going to close today by telling you four things you can do when the enemy's beginning to invade. I just want to ask you first, where is the devil fighting you in your thoughts? If it's that thoughts of giving up, is it thoughts of a sin life? Where is the devil trying to enter thoughts into you that's trying to bring you down, that's trying to destroy your future? The first thing you got to do, number one, you got to challenge your thoughts. Somebody say, challenge your thoughts. I've got to be willing to challenge my thoughts. I've got to begin to ask myself some hard questions. What am I hearing? What am I thinking? I've got to ask myself, what am I believing? What thoughts am I allowing that's draining the very life out of me? Where am I allowing the lies of the enemy to enter in? Do you not understand that thoughts come out of at least four origins? The Bible says there's thoughts that proceed from the world. Man, there's a way that the world thinks that a believer cannot think and stay in victory. The second one is, it's the flesh. There are thoughts that my flesh wants to think. That if I think those thoughts, and there's usually thoughts of self-pity, self-pride, those kind of things. Feel sorry for me. Look how bad I got it. And if I allow myself to think those thoughts, it won't be long till I'm going down. I cannot walk in victory and get what God has for me if I'm going to allow my flesh to enter the thought realm and allow it to control my thoughts. The third area the Bible says is the devil. There are certain thoughts that are demonic. The devil doesn't want you healed. The devil doesn't want you blessed. The devil doesn't want you happy. The devil doesn't want your marriage to make it. And there's certain thoughts that the devil puts into your mind, just as he did Jesus in the wilderness, and that they're to drain you. Because if he can drain you, he can keep you from ever getting to the place that God has promised you. Because there's only one thing that can keep God from fulfilling his promise to you. And that is if you give up. If you don't give up, the devil cannot keep what he's tried to take away from you. Amen. Amen. But there's another origin to thoughts. And that's the origin that God has a power and ability. In fact, somebody, would you hold me up God's book of thoughts? Somebody just hold it up to me. Now just thank God for his word. Come on, let's just rejoice in his thoughts. That's what the Bible is from Genesis through Revelation. It's the thoughts of God. And within those thoughts from Genesis to Revelation, God gives me the power to totally defeat the powers of darkness. And whatever it is that the devil is trying to put in your way or put in to keep you from the promise of God, if I will begin to challenge my thoughts. Amen? Amen. I say, everybody say, I'm not going to believe his lies. I'm not going to believe his fears. I refuse to accept the way the world, the way my friends try to get me to think. Go on, say that. I refuse to think the way my friends try to get me to think. I refuse to think the way my friends, because I tell you what, your friends hadn't made it. And every time that you're in anywhere getting into a position where they think you're going to make it, they're going to come against you. And they're going to try to show you how foolish it is for you to continue on the right path. And you can't listen to those. You got to understand, Job showed us you can't listen to that kind of friend. But there is a friend, and that's a spiritual friend. Somebody say a spiritual friend. And you can always tell. You can always tell a spiritual friend because a spiritual friend is always pulling you up. You can always tell a friend of the world, they're always pushing you back or pushing you down. But if you've got a spiritual friend, that spiritual friend is constantly pulling you up. Praise the Lord. So the first thing you got to do, you got to challenge the thoughts. The next thing is, you got to bring your mind into submission. You do not have to think those thoughts. The Bible says we have the power and ability to Christ to take our thoughts captive. We have the power and the ability. And many times it is like caging a wild animal. I don't know how many of you have ever tried to catch a wild possum and put them in a cage. Wild coon, a wild man, it's hard. You're constantly being scratched a bit. But I'll tell you what, your thoughts will start off that same way. When you begin to cage your thoughts and you begin to say, I'm going to submit my thoughts to what God's word is. And you've got to begin to ask yourself these questions and say, is this really true? This that's in my thought, is this really true or is this a lie? You've got to ask yourself that. Is this really true or is this a lie? Then you've got to say, does this sound like the devil's accusations? The devil is the accuser of the brethren. You can always tell the footprint, the big fat footprint of the devil. Because the big fat footprint of the devil is the word of accusation. He comes to sit down between two to divide them. I sat with a couple just a few days ago. And their problems which they thought was with some other people. I said, you better get a hold of this thing. Because if you allow this thing to run rampant, it'll be separating you. And then it'll begin to take your kids out of your life. Because the devil is just like a cancer that will not stop eating out of your life. It, and just like a cancer is, it has to be stopped. Amen? So when you begin to cage your thoughts, you got to begin to ask yourself, what's this going to do to me? If I continue this thought pattern, what's it going to do to me? If I continue to think this way, what's it going to do to me and what's it going to do to those around me? I'm going to tell you what, because people are just going to have a pity party with you for so long and they're going to get tired of pitying you. You understand? So you've got to make a decision. Then when you begin to take those thoughts and you begin to put them in a cage, it's a difficult thing, but I'm here to tell you, God's made you into a lion tamer. God has made you into one that can capture those thoughts. No matter if they're thoughts of lust, no matter if they're thoughts of division, no matter if they're thoughts of depression, no matter if they're thoughts of discouragement, no matter if they're thoughts of pride, God can empower you. Amen. Can empower you. Everybody say, empower me. Empower. God can empower me to capture those thoughts and to put that wild creature in a cage and lock the door for the glory of God. Amen. God can empower you to do that. Amen. All right. Then the third thing is you got to consider the fruit. You got to stop and consider the fruit of it. I'm amazed at people that think they're on God's mission. And all the time they're angry and upset. You're not on God's mission if you're angry. You're not on God's mission if you're upset. It may have started off as God's mission, but somewhere you begin to make an allegiance with the devil. Because those are the devil's feelings. That's not God's feelings. What you have to do is you take your thoughts and then you have to lay them up beside. If it's a thought of God, it's going to emit something. It's going to be something that it's emitting off of it. And there are going to be things like this. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, and kindness, and faithfulness, and meekness, and temperance. God can take you and make you as a strong man. But God will take a strong man and put a gentle heart deep within him. You may be a strong woman, but God will take a strong woman and put a heart of gentleness inside you. I don't admire a man that tries to handle his situations. He becomes a bully when he tries to handle it through anger. Nobody wants to see your anger. Nobody wants to see your flesh hanging all over itself. But everybody wants to see a strong man and a strong woman that's been made gentle by the power of the Holy Spirit. So you've got to begin to lay it up beside the fruit. If it's the right tree, it'll bear the right fruit in your life. If God told you to do it, it will bear the right fruit. There's been some things that God told me that's been hard things. Extremely hard things. But the way that you knew it was God. Because it would bear that fruit of peace. God can give you peace in the midst of the hardest storm, honey. You think that storm's going to make you hard. It's not the will of God. It's the will of God that no matter how strong that storm is, that God give you peace. Amen. My daughter called me, I think, yesterday. She said, Dad, she had got a few minutes to talk. It was my daughter, Gabrielle, out in Dallas area. And she said, Dad, you got a few minutes to talk? I said, yeah, I got plenty of time to talk, darling, too. And she said, you know, I'm really wrestling with the will of God in my life. She says, I'm not hearing God speak to me. I said, hold it, honey. God's language is not limited to words. I said, what do you feel? What do you feel? Do you feel peace? Because see, the Bible says we're led forth by peace. The way God leads you, the way you can know that you're flowing in the will of God, even in the midst of the hardest of storms, the way you can know that you're flowing in the will of God is there's a supernatural peace. And that peace can become so real in your life that you can find a big pillow in the bottom of that boat and go to sleep no matter what the raging winds and the waves are doing. Amen. So you got to lay what this thought, these thoughts that's coming to me, are they making me angry? Are they making me afraid? Are they building depression, self-pity, discouragement inside me? What are these thoughts? If those thoughts are emitting those things, those thoughts are not. That's the wisdom that does not come from above. Because the wisdom that comes from above, the Bible says, it's peaceable. And there's an ease within it. Even God can lead you in some hard places, but there'll be an ease that's within us. I don't know how many times I'd be saying, Lord, tell me which way to go. Lord, tell me which way to go. Lord, tell me which way to go. And all of a sudden, I would feel an arm around me and I would begin to move in a direction. You understand? The peace of God. The peace of God. The peace of God. So I know many of you just saw that movie, The Shack. Didn't you love that? Man, I loved that. My favorite part is when he said, when he began to walk back over the water and he began to sink. Jesus looked at him and said, you can do it better with me. And I'm just here to tell you, whatever you're doing, you can do it better with Jesus. You can just do it better with Jesus. Amen. All right, the fourth one, that's the last one. You got to be willing to fight back. You've got to be willing to fight. Not only do you capture those thoughts and you recognize those thoughts, but you've got to be willing to fight back against those thoughts. Now, this is where the rubber meets the road. You don't want to be absent-minded. You don't want to be clear-minded. You want to be God-filled-minded. The only thing that's going to give you the power and the strength to combat the thoughts of the enemy is the Word of God. So what you've got to do, you've got to spend time in the Word of God. Wherever it is, you can't go to war without a sword. Let me say that again. You cannot go to war without a sword. You cannot go to war without a sword. You cannot go to war without a sword. I'm amazed at the Christian people that's getting all beat up by the devil. understand what's happening. God's not defending me. I'm here to tell you, God's given you a sword. And unless you're willing to take a hold to that sword and allow the time to be spent in that sword to where the Bible says that your hand will become welded to the sword. God wants to put His word so much, so real into your heart to where you can't tell the difference to where you stop and the word begins. God wants to make you one with that word. Somebody says, how did that happen? Well, it usually happens in a battle. But whatever the battle that you're, whatever that thought pattern is, whatever the lie that the devil that's bearing bad fruit in your life, that's causing you to be depressed, that's causing you to be discouraged, that's causing you to be angry, that's causing you to be upset, you take that thought and you carry it to the Bible. And you find out what God says about that. You find out the way God wants. And I tell you, the Bible is full. There's not a thought that the devil is not a creator. He's not a creator. And so he cannot create even words. But what the devil does is the devil tries to take the words that you've had and the devil tries to use that thing against you. You just need a new word, honey. All you need is to hear from heaven again. Some of you may be working and trying to defeat the devil with the sword that you used 50 years ago. 50 years ago, God may have told you that He's going to be with you. You need to hear that again, honey. You need to hear God. You need a fresh word from God. That's exactly what had happened to Elijah. Elijah found himself underneath the tree saying, God, my thoughts are telling me I'm through. My thoughts are telling me it's over. God, my thoughts are telling me that I'm ready to die. God said, all you need, Elijah, is a fresh word. The angel first woke him up under that tree, because that's what depression did us. Depression put you to sleep in hopelessness and helplessness. So the angel knocked on his shoulder. And the angel said, I've been sent here by God. I brought you some God food. And this God food is going to give you the strength to make it to the mountain where you will be able to hear God. See, the thing about if we've been allowing the thoughts of depression and discouragement, anger, resentment, I know how it is. You go, I've had that so many times. You go to the altar and you say, oh, God, just take these thoughts away from me. But what it is, we know we can't hear from God in that state of mind. We know that we're alienating ourselves from hearing from God. But God says, I'm going to give you some spiritual food. And this spiritual food is going to carry you to the Mount of God. And that angel gave Elijah the spiritual food that had been sent from God. I tell you what, I don't know about you, but in praise and worship this morning, I got some spiritual food. I got some strength. I got some strength. I got some strength that will carry me how far it needs to go to get myself, even if my attitude has alienated me from God's presence, that strength will carry me to hear that word from God. And then I love it. The Bible says that Elijah ate that. And he didn't have the answer for his depression at that time. But a supernatural strength came on him. And he began to run to the mountain of God. And the Bible says he ran and he ran and he ran and he climbed and he climbed and he climbed and he found a cave. The Bible said Elijah went in that cave. That the first thing that happened, there came an earthquake and there came a wind. But God wasn't in the earthquake and the wind. See, God has to silence those things in our life that's causing His voice not to be heard. Those things, the Bible said, preceded His voice. But a lot of times we think He's in that. But God, I'm in this emergency. I just got to hear now. We don't understand. God's word doesn't work like that. God has to bring you to the place, get you to the mount of God. Then he has to quieten the things that's hindering you. And then when he quietens the things, the Bible says then, Elijah heard a still, small voice. And the man of God walked out of that cave as the powerful man of God again that God had created him to be. Bill, I've so watched you and I both over the number of years, we watched a lot of people be run into that cave, and we watched them emerge, haven't we, as changed men. The Bible says that there's such a principle here that David, when he was so discouraged, the Bible says that he ran to the cave. And the Bible says that David went in that cave, and then people began to resort to him. The Bible says those that were discouraged came to him. Those that were depressed came to him. And those that were in debt. Well, I sure fit that debt one. And they began to resort. Those that had become beat up by life, they began to resort to David in that cave. But the Bible says something happened in that cave. I tell you, what the Word of God can do to change our situations. Just hearing a word. And the wonderful thing about it is getting ourselves quieted to the place where we can hear God. It would make any disaster into a miracle, any devastation into the power of God. It would change whatever I'm going through to what God has promised to me. It will change it. The Bible said that in that cave, David became a captain among them. He began to say, and we know what he said because we have it recorded in the book of Psalms. He began to say to those that were discouraged, "Why are you discouraged?" He began to say, "Why are you depressed? Your hope is in the Lord. Your hope is in God. All we need to do is hear from God." The Bible said there came a group out of that cave that was different than the group that went into the cave. They went into that cave discouraged, depressed, and in debt. They said those men that emerged was the strongest fighting men that the world had ever known at that time. God's going to take your weakness, honey, and God's going to make you into something that only will give glory to God for it. God's not through with you yet. No matter what depression may have said to you, no matter what discouragement may have said to you, God's not through with you yet. All you've got to do is run to the cave of the Lord. All you need, honey, is just a little word. You may not need a lot of word. All you need is to hear a word from the Lord. And when you hear a word from the Lord, you're going to emerge as the strongest fighting woman, the strongest fighting man that the world has ever known. At that point, God used the discouragements of life to make the greatest army that had ever marched. In fact, one of those men that emerged from that cave was able to kill over 600 men on the field of battle. I've tried to figure out, man, you could just dog pal somebody and beat them. But they became so strengthened in God, they could take one sword and destroy 600 men before they could reach them. I'm going to tell you what, that's a mighty man for the glory of God. Can you say amen? Hallelujah!